Good morning. It is good to see each of you here this beautiful Lord's Day. We are blessed to have you here with us, and I encourage you to plan on being with us tonight at our 6 o'clock service. Also, the Coffee and Care A team will meet this afternoon at 4:30. We were scheduled last week, but I was out of town, so we'll meet today at 4:30. If you'd like to be part of the Coffee and Care A team, today at 4:30. So our memory verse this morning is taken from Psalms 29. It's a psalm until preparing for the lesson and stuff, I probably read through it a few times, but really had never slowed down to give it consideration. That's one of the benefits, I think, of sort of preaching through the psalms. Is it's made me sort of dig more deeper in some of the psalms and look at the messages there in those psalms. But particularly this morning, Psalms 29, I think we got problems with our clicker this morning. It's really a praise psalm. If you want to look at it this morning with us, we'll read it in just a few moments. But it's a praise psalm. And David really calls upon the people of God to give him his due praise and recognize the power of his voice. And that's an overarching theme of this psalm, is the voice of the Lord. And it's very, very important. And so in this psalm we have this morning, you can sort of break it down into three different categories here. We have verses 1 through 2. It's sort of the opening calls to praise God. We began there this morning in reading in verse 2. But let's just go ahead and read these sections as this morning as we begin to lay out our lesson. But in Psalms 29, verses 1 and 2, give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So this is really important for us to look at this morning, is that we owe something to God, and part of what we owe to God is just the glory and praise for who he is and what he means to us. And then in verses 3 through 9, it gives us reasons to praise Yahweh or the Lord. Yahweh was probably something how they would have used in reference to God here. If you look in your Bibles there, it's all caps L-O-R-D, and that usually means that the divine name of God was used in the original text, that Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yahweh. So that was such a profoundly important name to ascribe to God. In fact, they use it with great certainty that they don't want to say the name of God for profane lips, so they won't attempt to pronounce it. Even people in modern Judaism, if they're in a synagogue or place of meeting or worship, they won't even attempt to pronounce the divine name of God. They will substitute the word Adonai in its place because, thank you, John. So the divine name of God is so holy. Even when the scribes used to make copies of the Word of God, because they didn't have Xerox and things like that, so they would have to make a hand copy of the Word of God. When they were copying the text from the Bible, they would come to that divine name. They would lay down their pen, their stylus, wash their hands, write those four characters, lay down the stylus again, wash their hands again, because they didn't want to have any uncleanliness, sin or anything on them writing God's divine name. So it's really important because his name's used a whole lot in 11 verses. And so here in verses 3 through 9 are the reasons to praise the Lord or Yahweh. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siron, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. He strips the forest bare, and in his temple everyone says glory. So to hear God's voice, to hear the voice of the Lord is inescapable. You have to try not to hear God. And he gives all these references to things in nature. We got to spend a few days at the beach last week, and probably we've never been there in a storm, thankfully. but probably the waves were so boisterous, more than we've ever seen there. I mean, every day they were white capping. We even saw people attempting to surf there, you know, out on St. George Island. And so the ideal was, I mean, but the roar of the waves, and he describes it, the voice of the Lord is like many waters. The crashing of the waves, it's like the wind in the forest, even the cedars of Lebanon, are shaken back and forth. He said, this is the voice of God. He said, the voice of God is everywhere. It's undeniable. In the last three verses, he says, it's sort of a reaffirmation of God's reign and its implications. So in 10, it says, the Lord sat enthroned at the flood. So God watched over the chaos of the flood. And the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, we're 3,000 years removed from the context of this psalm. And so some of it sort of falls to us. It doesn't make as much sense. But David is speaking this psalm also to tell people about the glory of God, but also an indictment about people who want anything other than God. And so David's time, there are many people who worship false gods, Baals, idols, and these images. And these were sometimes referred to as dumb idols, D-U-M-B, that did not speak, that could not speak. And he's contrasting the voice of God is everywhere, and these things that you may choose to follow and worship, they're nothing compared to God. They have no voice. They cannot speak. And so David is referencing that he believes and put his faith in the God who speaks. So hearing the voice of God is important. As I mentioned earlier, he's used 18 times in 11 verses. And this is really, really important. 18 times in 11 verses. And more often than not, they tend to be very restrictive on how often they would reference God by his holy name. But 18 times in 11 verses is a whole lot. It's significant. And so it's very important that the point is that you need to heed and hear the voice of God. And so I know somebody thinking, what's that odd little thing in the corner? So it's something that I borrow. I spent quite a bit of time in Head Start centers, and I get to have the opportunity to go each one of the Head Start centers in the Upper Cumberland, 14 counties, 22 centers, and I can't remember how many classrooms, but I get to go there twice a year, spend time in the classrooms, watch the little kids. 3, 4, and 5 years are just amazing people. They're just so amazing, and how quickly they learn and all the things they learn. But one of the things that we teach a lot of different things in Head Start, but one is social emotional learning about how to be good learners, and part about how to be a good learner is being good listeners. And so we teach them to do active listening, and there's a little song that we teach. And the Head Start centers, and the teachers sing it over and over again. And I visit the centers, and sometimes the kids are in the little centers and are singing it to themselves. You know, and eyes are watching, ears are listening, voices quiet, bodies calm. This is how we listen. This is how we listen at group time. At group time. And it's a little tune that gets in your head, you know. And I see Savannah smiling because her mom is one of her assistants in Clay County, and she sings the song to the kids. I mean, it's just part of their experience. But they learn that listening is not just hearing. Listening is being active listeners. There's a difference between hearing and listening. And what David says, I don't want you just to hear God, but I want you to listen to God. And when you've really listened to God, you're going to have a reaction to this, and you're going to want to worship him. You're going to give majesty to his name. You want to glorify him. So this is a difference between just hearing God, because as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, that God's attributes are clearly seen in his creation, and so no one has an excuse not to say, well, I don't know who God is. So Paul says, open your eyes, look around you. There has to be a creator God. But it's a difference between it. So what he's asking us to be, you know, is good listeners to God. His voice is unavoidable. It's like the crashing waves or the thunderstorm, you know, that you experience in which trees are just tossing to and fro. He says that, you know, he makes these giant cedars of Lebanon skip like, you know, little animals. They're insignificant before God. But it says what we need to do is be listeners to God. And when we do, something happens. So the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. He tells us that God can be heard in big ways and in small ways. Listening and hearing God is an active process. Over and over and over again, the prophets call people to hear, but not just to hear, but to listen to what God was calling them to do. And so when we look at Psalms 29, it really lays us a foundation for some passages in the New Testament. You know, I believe that we have a responsibility as preachers and as teachers when we study the Old Testament to help people make the connection between the Old Testament text and Jesus. That's our responsibility. You know, Paul said, you know, in the book of Romans that things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through searching the scripture might find hope. And so our hope is found in Jesus. So we need to make that connection. But clearly Psalms 29 provides a foundation for many of the things that were written about in the Gospels. In fact, in Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 22, and when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in the bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So now we have God speaking not in the wind and the waves, but in clear words, pointing to Jesus. The voice that David referred to now is now saying, "This is who you need to listen to. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so God is now pointing people to Jesus to be the voice from heaven. And in fact, in Luke chapter 9, in the Transfiguration, Luke says, "And while he was saying this, a cloud came over and shadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And the voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son, hear him.'" It's not that God still can't be seen and found in this natural world and creation. As Brother Herb prayed in his prayer this morning, as we see it unfolding before springtime and the trees and the grass and the flowers and the birds, all this is unfolding before. It's not that God cannot still be seen there, but he says, "Listen, I want you to hear my Son. I want you to actively listen to my Son. I want you to tune in to what he says." Many of us grew up with the old transistor radios. And you remember how sometimes hard they were to tune in, and you get all the static, you know, and then you just hit the signal just right, and it's so clear. To tune in requires something on your part. You have to go through the static of life to really tune in and listen to Jesus. We are filled with a lot of things to grab our attention today. We may be one of the most distracted generations that's ever been. We have a hard time sitting in silence and being quiet, don't we? You know, we get a moment to sit, and what happens very often, we pull our cell phones out or our iPad, that we can't hardly stand it. But as wisely said in Scripture, to be still and know I am God. And so we see this, and we see this again as the voice from heaven. And hearing God's voice is so important. Some people seem to have learned to listen when other people seem deaf to the message of God. Again, using Psalms 29, I believe, as a backdrop to this thinking, John 12 gives us an example. Jesus says to God, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore, the people who stood by heard it and said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake." You see, here's this moment where Jesus is praying to God and says, "Father, just be glorified." And God speaks from heaven. The voice from heaven comes down and again anoints him with this blessing of who he is and what he's been called to do. And then some people say, "You know, man, that was a loud piece of thunder, wasn't it?" And other people said, "No, it was the angel speaking to Jesus." When we begin to change a perception as being from people who are lucky to people who are blessed, and we really begin trying to look for the blessings in our life, it makes us become more fine-tuned at what God is doing in our life. David says you can't stop God from speaking. His voice is always around us. It is inescapable. But you have to decide, are you going to give it its due? Are you going to learn to tune into it and listen to it? Or are you going to say, "Wow, that's a lot of thunder, isn't it?" It used to be sung 1A in the old hymnals. I don't know what it is in our hymnals, but we do sing it from time to time. And it tells a story. The background of the story is a young, I think he was Swiss, got caught in a storm out walking. And he feared for his life. To the point he thought he was going to die. But yet the storm subsided and he survived. And from that he sat down and wrote a song. And we sing that song, you remember 1A? "How great thou art. I can hear the rolling thunder." I mean, he talks about how God is revealed through his experience and his nature. He learned from his experience to be tuned to God. And for many of you, sometimes you will have to go through storms in your life, unfortunately, before you'll be able to listen to God. And maybe you're in a storm right now. But I assure you, God is speaking loudly into the storm and over the storm. Listen. Attend to him, especially to the words of his son. In Psalm 29, it says, "And everyone in his temple, everyone says, glory." I like how Eric chose to start us off this morning singing a song, "Holy, Holy, Holy." It's a very scriptural song. Its foundation is found in many places in Scripture. But remember John and his revelation? How he saw all those people sitting around the throne of God, and what were they saying? "Holy, holy, holy." And so when you really get good at listening to God and you are actively listening to God, your response to him is worship. It's glory. It's hallelujah. It's ascribing everything that you can, ascribing ever how you want it. You know, give however how you want to phrase it in those first few verses. Different translations use the word give. Some use the word ascribe. But however you want to do it, it's giving praise and worship to God. And then add a response to that. There is a reaction to this. When you take time to give God praise and worship, there is a reaction to this. Psalm 29 says, "The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." David tells us that God will be with his people and bless them with peace. I don't know you'll be asked, but in case you would be asked, why did you get out of worship today? I remember growing up, we had friends of the family, and he was from a different religious background, and she was from a different religious background, so I think they just sort of chose in their life not to include religion in their life, but they were good friends of the family, and when their daughter was born, she would go to church with us and stuff. They wouldn't, but they let us take their daughter to church with us growing up, and I remember he asked one time, he says, why do you people go to church all the time? He said, you go to church all the time. And I said, why don't you go to church? You know, and he said, I'm a good person. You know, I obey the Ten Commandments. You know, he had sort of a Catholic background, so you have to have the biggies, you do that, and everything else is okay, I guess. But so I don't know anything different than going to church all the time. But we would expect that there should be something from being here, from the experience of worship. And so what the psalmist says is that from worship you will get strength. You will receive blessings and you will have peace. As a behavioral scientist, I've discovered that we have something called state-dependent learning, that you tend to recall things better in the state in which you learn it, and they've done all different ways of doing this, but also that after a period of time you begin to associate things. And I know that many of you, we've talked about this before in our private conversations, and we've talked about how you miss being able to be in church. You know, a sickness or whatever. You know, we had the COVID thing. Hopefully, we're through that, and how it just meant so much more to us just be able to be together in worship. And for some of us, it's almost like some of the tensions of life we just get to leave outside, and for this period of time, we're just sort of in a safe place, and a holy place, and a reverent place, and we receive strength. So when we really are actively listening to God, there's outcomes. And David says in this psalm, he will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So strength, blessings, and peace are all outcomes of what we're getting here today. And worship really helps us become better listeners to the voice of God. Jesus is the embodiment of the voice of God. I'm going to go back to my old transistor radio analogy. That I remember I had this little small transistor radio. I can't remember the brand of it. I visualize it pretty easily. And you could tune it in, and you'd get a station, and you'd set it down, and you pick it up. Anyone ever had that experience? Yeah. Or some of us remember, you know, holding onto the antenna of the TV to sort of get better reception. Don't move, you know. You got reception right now. Some of us know that experience. Some of you don't know. Some of you are too young to appreciate this. But sometimes you had to get close to the body in order to get better reception, right? It's almost like the body became a living antenna. And as long as you had it in your hand, you got good reception. You set it away from you, you lost the reception. Well, the analogy is not too much lost because the church is called the body of Christ. And the more you stay with other people worshiping God, and the more you spend time with them, the better your listening will be. The better the message will come in to you. And the clearer will be. I think it was Edward Guest, I may be wrong on the author of it, but he wrote a poem to the effect that I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. You know, the words you say may get lost in me, but what you see, what I see you do will not. Something to that effect. So worship helps us become better listeners to the voice of God. And Jesus is the embodiment of the voice of God. Again, we can't get far away from the Gospels to see this. And so Jesus became the Word that we can see in John chapter 1, verse 14. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory that only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. So David, when he penned Psalm 29, he looked forward to a day that we get to live in full revelation of God in Jesus Christ. And so we see that this voice that he talks about in Psalms 29 became fully embodied in Jesus. And in Jesus, we now have the opportunity to see and to hear the voice of God. I think this one's gone out too, so that's the next slide, please. So, all the glory and praise that David gives to the voice of God, we should now give to Jesus. Everything that he said in Psalm 29 that we could ascribe and give God his justice, give God his glory, give God his majesty, now belongs to Jesus. So we see what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, ascribing everything that we could give to God, we now give to Jesus. Therefore, as God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those who are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So everything that was laid down in Psalms 29 is now fully realized in Jesus and who he is. Last slide. So the Hebrew writer talks about the importance of hearing the voice of God. And three times he uses this same phrase, hear his voice. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7, verse 15, and 4 and 7. And this invitation is not just to hear, but to actually listen by not hardening our hearts to his voice. My grandfather, who I referenced quite a bit, was born in the 19th century. He was born in 1885, lived to be 103, passed away in 1988 at 103. I don't remember my grandfather ever disciplining me in my lifetime, but he didn't have to either, because he just had a presence about him. And sometimes my mother, she would be telling us, don't do that, don't do that, or do this, and she would be repeating herself, and he would correct her. He says, don't lie to them. If there's going to be a consequence, do it. You don't have to repeat yourself. And I thought, and that just sort of was a sobering thing, that was his estimate of you didn't have to repeat, you told him one time, and that was all you told him. And that was it. But the thing, have you ever noticed that kids sometimes can sort of tune you out? But they just don't hear you. It's a human capacity that we have just to tune people out. We just don't pick up your stuff, we just don't hear it, How many times I gotta tell you, shut the door, whatever. We have that capacity, don't we? And unfortunately, it spills over to our spiritual life. And we can sometimes tune God out. And the Hebrew writer says, don't do that. He's quoting from the Old Testament. Maybe he says, hear his voice and don't harden your heart. So we come back to our memory verse. Given to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And what I hope to help you understand that today in worship, hopefully you leave here with strength, with blessings, and with peace. But also be able to link that who this person is that we need to give glory to, his name is Jesus. And the beauty of his holiness. Because he was the perfect representation of our potential. And that he paid the ultimate sacrifice so that when we put our faith and trust in him, his perfect representation is credited to us. When we put our faith and trust in him and live in him, and God sees us, he sees his son. So if you're here this morning and maybe something's been said to touch your heart, and you think, you know, I need to do that. I need to confess him as my Savior, be buried with him in baptism. Or perhaps this morning that there's something that's on your heart that you need help lift it. Or perhaps this morning you would like to make a statement and rededication. We're here. We've got a time assigned to us. Brother Eric's going to lead us in an invitation song at this time.